Hallelujah. Well, Zechariah 10:1 says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. And so it's raining on the outside, and I believe it's about to rain on the inside. And I just want to, by the way, I'm preaching tonight. And so, hallelujah, it's good to see you. I gave Pastor Rhonda the night off. And I woke up this morning kind of knowing I need to be here. Then I went and did noon prayer. And on the way, I said, well, you're probably still going to do it. And then I came home and said, nah, I better do it. And so I have had this on my heart a little bit. Not a little bit, but more. I want to talk to you about the word that I gave on December 31st, 2017. And I want to look at it. I think I did this part of it. I did the Shabbat Shalom part for the, what do we call those things? Saturation meetings. And so let's look at this part. So listen to this. I thank you, Father, for this gathering of the saints here in heaven. Yea, I feel like I'm in heaven. I meant to say here in heaven. That's what I meant to say. I think I was confused, but I wasn't confused. No, I meant to say here on earth as in heaven, glory to God. It says, as they gather and they gather and they gather. How many know Hebrews chapter 12 says that we're encompassed about by such a cloud of witnesses. And I believe that they're gathering and the Lord is allowing them to look down through the portals and the gates and see what's going on here. They don't care nothing about politics. They don't care what kind of car you drive. They want to know what we're doing spiritually. That's the only thing they really care about. And they want to, and because they see an appointed time, and so they're looking. I believe the Lord is letting them look down. And here and there they are gathering. Here and there they are gathering. There are more in time of gathering here and there. And they gather in heaven as the saints of old who have gone before us, relatives, friends, family, and mentors and such. And those that are appointed to see these days. They're gathering. Looking through the portals, looking through the gates, looking through to see what has been proclaimed. And listen, this is what we're going to talk about tonight. And what will the body of Christ do with a new and fresh anointing? And what will the body of Christ do? Are you part of the body?
Yes.
So what will you do with a new and fresh anointing? What will the body of Christ do with this new and fresh anointing? What will the church do with the new and fresh anointing? Will you walk through the gates? Will you walk through the door? Will you do what the Lord has called you to do forevermore? Will you come and be seated in heavenly places, even this day and this hour, and sit and sit and sit and see the salvation of your God? Will you walk through? Will you walk through? Will you walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Will you let the rod and the staff comfort and guide you? Will you? Will you? Will you? All those will yous. Will you follow his voice? Will you follow the good shepherd all the days of your life? Will you let him lead you and guide you and protect you and direct you? And there's green pastures and still waters, and there's things to see and there's things to know. And revelation, everybody say revelation. Revelation for time, this time, and that has been held for you, not hidden from you, but hidden for you. And so tonight we're going to talk about a new and fresh anointing. And so the anointing is always available. And so I just want to give you a little background history. Most of you, when you think the word anointing, you have a picture of what that means, and it's probably pretty accurate. Our kind of church, we talk about the anointing, which is the presence of God, which is the manifest presence of God. But who's anointed, and where is the anointing, and all those things? Who's the anointing for? But in the old covenant, there were three offices that were anointed. And that was it. The priest, the king, and the prophet. And there was a time that they were actually physically, the word anoint means to smear on. And so they were physically, the anointing or the oil was smeared on them as a representation. Because it was a type and a shadow, that really did need to happen before the anointing actually came on them. Many of them, like for instance, King David. How many of you know he was anointed by the prophet to be king many years before he was actually the king? So it was something that had to be done. The anointing, he had to be anointed, smeared, rubbed on, and then that anointing or the presence of God would come upon them. Because you all know this, but they're not born again, so the Spirit of God doesn't live on the inside of them, so the anointing is not in them at all. The anointing only comes upon them. And so you can see throughout the Old Testament, when the anointing would come upon the king to rule and reign, the priest to speak for God, the priest to minister to God, and the prophet to speak for God. And then there were certain times that the anointing or a special anointing was just given to someone and as a sign and a wonder or someone for God. For instance, Samson, y'all remember, he had a special anointing. That hair was worth, I don't know what it was worth. That hair was amazing, and there was anointing there, and he was never supposed to cut it, and that anointing was there, and the power of God was on his life, and it showed up in strength. So you can see different attributes of the anointing even in the Old Covenant. The anointing came on the prophet, and it came on him, and he outran the king's fastest horses. So you can see some things there of what the anointing does. Everybody say anointing. And so God asks you, he asked this church, he's asking the body of Christ, he's asking us, if I'm giving you a fresh and new anointing, how many of you know we need a fresh new anointing in the body of Christ, especially in the good old U.S. of A. And I think for a lot of years, a lot of people have tried it their way. In other words, they've tried to help God out. This is how you increase the church. This is how you do church. This is the best way to do it. But how many of you know, in the end, God always has his way. And so we want to know God's way. I've done this now for 24 years. This November will be 25 of pastoring. And I figured out by now that if God is not in the house, if God is not doing something, then there's really no reason to gather and do. And I want it to be God. It's not, just like you coming on Wednesday night when there's flooding outside and it's rain outside. I appreciate that, and I believe God will honor that. I know there's probably a lot of people watching. I had no fault that you couldn't get here, but I'm just saying that when you make an extra effort for God, I believe there's a response from God. And so if he's talking to us and we esteem, the Bible says, despise not prophecy. That doesn't mean you hate it. You've heard Pastor Rhonda talk about that word despise a little bit on Wednesday night. Despise just means lightly esteem. There's a lot of charismatics and a lot of word of faith people who despise prophecy. They don't even know it. What does that mean? They lightly esteem it. I've heard so much of it, and it never comes to pass that I don't pay any attention anymore. Well, the Bible says to war a good warfare with the prophecy spoken over you. In other words, just like everything with God, there's a lot of conditions. If you'll do this, then I'll do that. Just because God proclaims something, just because he says something, even the word, you've got to mix faith with it, and you've got to do something about it. And so if God is speaking to us, and I hope you believe, I firmly believe that was the Spirit of God on, because I've told you this, and I don't mean it disrespectful to the Holy Ghost or God. I try hard not to get something on December 31st, I'm even in that club of everybody has to have a word for the next year. I don't. I have a written one. And that's just really good enough for me. And if he wants to say something else, in other words, I don't strive to get something. I don't say, well, Lord, I'm not available. I would never do that. But I'm not trying to get a word for you on December 31st or around that time or January 1st or whenever we're together so that we can have something to live off of for the next year. I just don't do that. But if the Lord wants to do that, and when he does, we need, and he has in years here over the 25 years, there have been a number of years that he's done that. And there are certain people that they do get a word from God every year, and it's accurate. And so I know those people, and you know some of those people, but everybody that gets a word from the Lord for the year doesn't mean it's from the Lord. Sometimes people just try to get something. And but I have to believe, I want you to believe that this is from God. And therefore, this is the year. And every time we say it around here, if you don't notice the unction on it, I don't know if you know the unction, but when we talk about double jubilee around here, something stirs, something moves, because that was God's word to us. And I don't even know, it's jubilee when you double it. What does that look like? And we've been starting to get testimonies. I got one tonight of what God is doing and what it looks like. It's exceedingly, abundantly above all you could ever ask or think, according to the power or the anointing that's working on the inside of you. God is doing it. And so you can tell when we do that, they're stirred up. When I spoke on Shabbat Shalom, I've never heard of Shabbat Shalom. I'm not Jewish. I don't preach on end times. So when I start praying out, I know what Shalom is, but I didn't even know if Shabbat was a real word. So sometimes when I pray in the Holy Ghost and pray out things, Pastor Ron is over there on, thank God for Google. You know, you can Google it and see that's a real word. And then you put the two of them together and it was like, wow. And it's just right where I'm living right now. I need some Shabbat Shalom. I need some rest, and I need and we talked about that, and there's anointing on it. So I'm trying to stir you up before I get started. Because if God says there's a new anointing coming, or there's a new anointing available, then we ought to be ready for it, and we ought to be thinking about, what does that mean for me? What is the anointing? Well, the anointing in the old covenant put someone into a place so they could do what God needed them to do, either rule and reign, speak for God, or minister to God, or a special thing. And so you carry that over, then there's some attributes of that for us today. And this is what also we know. How many know Jesus was anointed? Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. You know this scripture? But it said, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So this is what the anointing does. The anointing caused him to preach the gospel to the poor. The anointing sent him to heal the brokenhearted. It caused him to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight. That's not natural blindness there. That's spiritual blindness to the blind, to set at liberty, to bring freedom to those that are bruised. What's a bruise? A bruise is where you've had an injury, an owie, a hurt place, amen? And so what does the anointing do? It preaches to the poor. It's deliverance for the brokenhearted. It's deliverance for the captives. It's to give them sight who can't see, or revelation, commanding the blinders to come off of their eyes so they can see. And so this was on Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our elder brother, and I believe that anointing that was on him to do what? To set a liberty them are bruised. Verse 19, and the Spirit of the Lord is on him to preach jubilee. The Spirit of the Lord, that's what this is, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, that is jubilee. Now, it's jubilee every day you and I are alive and born again. But when he proclaims that there is something special on it, that's what the anointing does sometimes. It draws attention to something special. Because listen, because you're born again, 1 Peter 2:24 says, by the stripes of Jesus, you are, that's a done deal. That's a done deal. And so you as a born-again believer can learn how to receive your healing. But then on the other hand, he has anointed ministers, men and women of God and people, to lay hands on the sick and they recover. The anointing draws special attention to something that God does even on a regular basis. The anointing kind of lifts it up. The anointing kind of draws attention to it. And so Jesus is anointed, and he's anointed by who? Acts 10:38. Let's look at Acts. Oh, we skipped one. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 27. Acts chapter 4, verse 27. Sorry, Wesley, or whoever, or Mike, or who's up there? Acts 4, 27. For as of truth against the Holy Child whom thou hast anointed. So everybody say, Jesus is anointed. Y'all believe that? I mean, there's no argument from anybody. Jesus was anointed. Acts 10:38 says how the Holy Ghost, who? The Holy Ghost anointed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. So God anointed.
How?
With the Holy Ghost. And when with the Holy Ghost, there's power. So the anointing is the Holy Ghost. So the anointing is the Holy Ghost. In the Old Testament, the anointing was the Holy Ghost. He didn't live, he couldn't live in them, he couldn't go in them, but he came upon them. And he came upon them to do something specific. He came on the king so a king could rule and reign. He came on a prophet so he could speak for God. He came on a priest so he could minister to God. He came on Samson to do something specific that was already an attribute of God. That's what the anointing does. The anointing causes something that God can do to come onto you, and it enables you to do something you could not do because of the anointing, but God could already do it. And then he anoints you, and he comes upon you to do something. And so the anointing, Jesus was anointed. What was he anointed to do? He was anointed to preach to the poor. He was anointed to heal the brokenhearted. He was anointed to bring recovery of sight to those that were blind. He was there to get the captives out of the prison house. And he was there to preach Jubilee. He was anointed to do that. Who anointed him? The Holy Ghost. How many of you know the Holy Ghost is not twins? How many of you know there's one Holy Ghost? There was one Holy Ghost who brooded over the face of the earth, and the Holy Ghost is the anointing. He brooded over the face of the earth when God said, "Let there be light." Jesus made it, and then what happened? The Holy Ghost made it happen on the earth. The Holy Ghost is the one who is the anointing that makes things happen on the earth. And I'm telling you that if God is emphasizing to us as a body of believers and to the body of Christ, there's a new and fresh anointing. Listen. It's not new in the sense of it's original. It's not fresh in the sense that it's never been before. What does it mean? There's an emphasis. There's an enlightening. There's an eye-opening experience. And I'm telling you that everything going on, especially in our nation right now, we need a revival. We need the church to wake up. Arise from your sleep. Amen. These are the last of the last days. What will do that? A jolt of the anointing of God. What is the anointing of God? It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. God anointed. Everybody say anointing. Who did he anoint? He anointed Jesus. So that's good. You know that's Jesus. Well, Jesus is our elder brother. He's the first begotten from among the dead. And yet the Bible said, Jesus said, everything the Father has is mine and I give it to you. And I believe that includes the anointing. Listen, if he went so that the Spirit of God could come in you, what would then him say? Well, you're not qualified anymore for the Spirit to come upon you. So not only is, see, for us, we live in a way better time. That's why we live in a new and better covenant. Because in the old covenant, the Spirit of God only came upon. But now God lives in you. And I know you know that. Greater is he that is in you. Are you glad you're born again? And the Bible then begins to talk about you and I, that we're anointed. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 1, 21. Now he that established us with you is Christ and has anointed us is... Everybody say, I'm anointed by God. What is the anointing? It's the smeared on presence of God. Where are you anointed? Well, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, and then verse 27, both talk about how that you have an unction. You have an unction. Where's the unction? It's on the inside. So first of all, you're anointed on the inside. The presence of God, the Holy Ghost has come to live in you. And then we could talk about the glory, because also you could say that the anointing is also the glory. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures. It's Christ in you. The what? The hope of glory. And so you can say it this way. Because Christ is not Jesus' last name. You all know that, right? What is Christ? It means the anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one. You are a Christian. You're a bunch of anointed people. And see, the more, if we begin to talk about that, the more you talk about something, the more it manifests. And if we understand who we are, it's Christ in you. It's the anointing in you, the hope. What is hope? The expectation. Christ, the anointing in you with an expectation of a manifestation of the glory of God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ, the anointed one in you. He's in you by the new birth, but also the glory's in you. I believe you're like the Ark of the Covenant. What does Ark of Covenant mean? It just means gathered presence of God. Well, God said, I'm not going to live in anything made by. In other words, God doesn't live in this building. He doesn't live here. Now, you can sense his anointing here when we're here, and maybe there's some anointing that lingers, but he doesn't live here. He doesn't dwell here. In other words, he's not manifesting in this room while we're all not here. You bring him. It's Christ in you. And so the Bible says you are the temples of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 6:19. You are the temple. What is the temple of the Holy Ghost? It's the Ark of the Covenant where from that place God manifests. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if God's talking about a new and a fresh anointing, he's not talking about doing something, I believe, that he's never done before. Because we're going to be able to have to find it in the Word of God. But when I hear that, I hear a reemphasis. I hear an unveiling. I hear revelation, meaning you're going to learn how to work with me better. I hear manifestations of the Holy Ghost. I hear those kind of things. If God is bringing a new and a fresh anointing, then we have to understand that he's going to use us because we're the anointed ones today. Amen. And so actually, God's going to have to use people. Amen. And we're some of the ones that he's got. Well, I wish we'd all get more perfect. If God has to wait till we all get perfect to be used, we're all in a big heap of load of trouble. And so he's going to keep teaching us, but you and I, then what do we have to do to be us more ready, if you will, for this new and fresh anointing? Well, then it's something of we got to meditate on it. It's something we got to talk about. It's something we got to believe. It's something we got to mix our faith with. I have a sermon that I preach, and some of you have been around here a long time. I love to teach on the glory. I was born for the glory. I was meant to see the glory. I was meant to walk in the glory. I'm a preacher of the glory. And if I get going any more longer, we'll probably switch off to start talking about the glory because I was born to see the glory. He's coming for a glorious church, and I believe that's us. And what is the glorious church? It's a church with the glory of God on it. I believe in the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. I believe we're supposed to be that kind of church in order to please God. I can't ask the Holy Ghost not to come on Sunday mornings. I can't ask him to don't come and do what you do and be who you are. But on Wednesdays, it's okay because we're just the home folk. Whatever he wants to do. Now, how many know he knows what's going on and he knows what people need? I think sometimes we're just fooled ourselves in thinking that people don't really need to meet God. We need to introduce him slowly because he's going to scare everybody. If you get all of him, it's going to scare you. Well, he's not scary. He's loving. He's good. He's kind. He's powerful, and he's almighty, but he's good. And I want somebody to really meet him in all of his goodness. I just pray to God people will get done with their religion soon enough that we can get on with seeing who God really is. And I know you agree with that, but I'm just here to stir you up a little bit tonight. And I'm going to do some things to prepare you for Dr. Varallo's meeting on Sunday morning. Because she does carry quite the strong anointing. And she does stand in the office of the prophet. And if you've never been in one of her meetings, they can be interesting. I've been in meetings where nothing in the room moves. Just by the awesomeness of God. I've been in her meetings, just like other meetings, where people were joyful and rejoicing. Those are kind of not as often in her meetings. I've seen miracles. I've seen healings. I've seen people's lives altered and changed. I've seen her speak, about in two nations. I've seen her speak things, and then it turned up on the news the next week. I've seen her think of big things, and then I've watched her work with people individually and tell the littlest, slightest detail that only they would know and their pastors would know. I remember one time when she was just new to our church, she went down the row talking to people and was saying things to them that nobody in the congregation knew. It was very cryptic. But Rhonda and I sat out in the front row and bawled like big old babies, because we knew that she was ministering right to where they were and right to what was going on. God is a good God, and that comes with anointing. Are y'all ready for a new and fresh anointing? Are you ready for a new and fresh? I think, listen, if people are gathering in heaven to watch, there's enough going on up there that they don't need to really care about what's going on down here. That's what I believe. And if there is something going to go on down here on the earth, which is worthy of them taking time out to look down, I think it's going to be pretty good, 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 pretty good. Everybody say, I'm anointed. What are you anointed to do? Well, you're anointed to do what Jesus did. You're anointed because the Holy Ghost is the anointer. He is the anointing. And so we have to look and see what God's always done with someone who's anointed in order to know how to cooperate with the anointing. So how do you do that? Well, the purpose. So again, Luke chapter 4, what are you anointed to do? Well, you're anointed to preach deliverance to captives. You're anointed to preach to those that are poor. You're anointed to deliver, to help deliver those out of their captivity. And you are anointed in this season to tell everybody it is Jubilee. It is the year of the Lord's favor, and profuse favor is abounding to everybody, and you just ought to tell them they need to get in on it. God is moving in such a way. And so what else does the anointing do? You know this, Isaiah 10:27. Everybody knows this one. What does the anointing do? It destroys, it demolishes, it obliterates the yoke of bondage. So the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. Everybody say, the anointing destroys bondage. Do you know anybody in bondage? Maybe people who come to church here even are still dealing with some things. How many know it's the anointing? The anointing in 1 second. I've watched the anointing deliver people. And they get set free. Now, what I do know this, the Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. And if you continue in my words, then you'll be free indeed. One of the things I've learned as a pastor, just because sometimes someone gets instantaneously free, we've got to get the word in them so they can stay free. Because the same devil that tries to hold them in bondage will try to come back. And sometimes with friends. And so what you've got to do is you've got to get free, but you've got to stay free. But thank God for the anointing where there's instantaneous deliverance. Amen? And there's a whole lot of people who need to come in contact with the anointing. And you know what? If you're not ashamed of the Holy Ghost, then you're not ashamed of the anointing. And how many of you know the anointing is not going to cause you to do something stupid at work? I doubt that the Spirit of God is going to tell you to get up in the middle of your desk and start shouting in tongues at people. I doubt, you know what? The anointing always has good results with it. The anointing always has good results with it. And so that's what we want. We want to follow the Holy Ghost. There is a way to reach this generation. There's a way to reach the people that are on the earth right now. And we have to have the anointing to do it. Everybody shout, I'm anointed. Are you anointed? What are you anointed to do? You're anointed to destroy the yoke. You're anointed to do the same things that Jesus did. You're anointed to do those things. The anointing is in you. And so if that anointing is in you, that anointing will also come upon you. You don't have to be a fivefold minister for the anointing to come upon you. You don't have to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. You just have to be a member of the body of Christ. Because you're Christians, the anointing of God is on your life. It's in you and it's on you. The Spirit within, the Spirit upon. God comes in you and God comes upon you. That's why I believe everybody needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because that Spirit coming upon you, Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. And that fire will make you become a witness. And that and learning to work with the anointing there will cause you to be able to change. That word, I want you to look at this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Are you all grateful for liberty and freedom? Are you free? We'll sing a little freedom. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 18. But we all, with open face, behold as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So this is talking about the anointing. But we, as an open face, beholding as a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed. That word change, you know, is metamorpho. And that anointing changes people. Just like Peter, who couldn't talk to a little girl who denied Jesus three times when he got restored by Jesus, but he needed the anointing on his life. And when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he had an appointment to keep, and that appointment was standing up and preaching to all those people. And he was able to do that, not just because he was restored, but because he was filled with the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God was on his life. And you say, well, he's a preacher. But you know what? The anointing of God will cause you to be able to do things you couldn't do. Peter could not do that, and he would not have been able to do it, not just with restoration. He had to be anointed. He had to be empowered to do it. And so you and I, there's things in our life. Listen, the anointing is not just for here. An anointing on your life can be anointing for a business. The anointing on your life can be for so many different things. What is it? It's the power of God coming upon you so that you can do something that you can't do in your own strength. You need the anointing. And if there's a new and a fresh anointing, are y'all doing all right? If there is a new and fresh anointing available, then we need to believe God for it. So how do we do that? Well, Father, I understand that the anointing is not for a purpose. And so the purpose, I want that purpose. The anointing is for me to rule and reign. The anointing is for me to minister to you. The anointing is for me to speak for you. The anointing will come upon me to do things that I couldn't do in my own strength. The anointing that came upon Jesus, who God anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Father, I want to go about doing good. Father, I want to do good. So I need you to anoint me so I can do the good and show people who you are. I'm anointed to do good. 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 Hallelujah. I am anointed to do good. Everything God does is good. I'm anointed to represent God on the earth, and I'm anointed to minister for him, and I'm anointed to go about doing good. I'm anointed, and it doesn't have to happen just within these church walls. I can do actually more good out there. Because see, here, I'm anointed to teach you, and you're anointed to receive, all right? That's good. But if that's all we use the anointing for, we're not getting much out of the anointing. The anointing is for you to go and do something with it. You know, I thank God, and I love this, and I love it when it happens and whenever it happens. Thank God for the anointing comes on people, and we get a little Pentecostal around here. I like it. I love it. I love to laugh. I love to jump. I love to dance. I love to run. And I like to do them all at the same time. And it has nothing to do with my personality, because my personality is quiet and reserved, and I don't want to, I hate to be embarrassed. Oh my gosh. Lord knows I hate to be embarrassed. I hate to be embarrassed. That's why, you know, I was always in the middle of the pack and everything. I did not want to be. And how many know, because I didn't want to be embarrassed and say anything stupid, I would never say anything. But every time I said something, it always was stupid. I was always doing that. And so for God to do what he does with me, it's the anointing. And when he runs me around the room, and when he has me jump and dance and laugh and all those things, that is not in my personality. That is in God. Now, it's become part of my personality just because I've done it for so long. I know how to yield to that. But my point is this, and I love that. And that's wonderful. And God does that. There's reasons he does that. And we need to cooperate with that. But that's not what the anointing, that's not the ultimate purpose of the anointing. That blesses us. And I love to get a little, I can get a little Pentecostal with the best of them. And I didn't even grow up Pentecostal. I can do all that, and I love that. I love when God does it. But once we get done running, once we get done shouting, once we get done laughing, then we need to take what we've got and take it to somebody. We need to go help somebody. We need to give somebody something good. That's the whole purpose of that, is to get you to a loose place of liberty so that you'll take your liberty and go share it with somebody else. That change, that metamorpho, the glory of God, you're changed into the same image by the Spirit of the Lord. Just like Jesus, that word metamorpho is where he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's the same word in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it talks about renewing your mind and your mind being renewed or changed by the word of God. And the more glory you let in and the more glory you let upon, then you're going to be able to do something that you were never able to do before. You're going to be able to witness to someone you were never able to witness to before. You're going to lay hands on the sick like you've never done before. You're going to see good things, but it's not just going to be within these walls. Amen. If it was just every, you know, if we have 500 people or 600 people on Sunday morning, if all I did was everybody here lay hands on one another, that's not what it's for. We do that, but it's meant for you to take even you what you receive and take it and do something with it. We're supposed to, so that's what the anointing does. It's a new and a fresh anointing. And so I believe when Dr. Varallo comes, she used to laugh at me because she used to use this scripture almost every meeting she was in for years. And so she would, I would do it on purpose. And, but one time we were in a meeting, she called me out on it because, she's going to go, she doesn't do it as much anymore, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 is how she started all her meetings out. Cause then she would say, now we're legal. Because us word of faithers, we like, you got to give me some words first. And she's a preacher. She's not a line upon line teacher. So there's word coming out the whole time she's doing it, but it's not always line upon line. So I want you to know that. You know, Pastor Rhonda and I are more line upon line teachers. And that's great. And a lot of the people that we have here. But she doesn't have to be that. But yet, what she's getting you ready for is a demonstration. A demonstration of what? The anointing. So let's look at 1 Corinthians. And so one time, I don't remember where we were. She goes, Mark, what scripture am I going to? And so, do you know, I don't know if you remember, but I was sitting on the front row and I already had my Bible open because I was like, I know where she's going. And so, but if she starts there, don't anybody laugh, all right? But she does it on purpose. She does it to give us an expectation of what's about to happen. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So Paul said, I'm not coming to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. In other words, I'm not here to argue with you. I'm not going to debate with you. I'm not going to... I'm not here to, you know, match wits with you, but I'm coming in a demonstration. I'm coming in a demonstration of what? Of who God is, a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Mark 16:20 says, and they went forth everywhere and preached the word, and the Lord worked with them, confirming his word with signs following. Let us pray and believe God that as a whole, and we just got to fight for this, we got to contend for this, that Christianity just doesn't become another religion with no power. We serve a living God. And in the early Gospels, in the book of Acts, in the early after Jesus' death in the book of Acts, it says they gave witness of the resurrection. And there were signs and wonders done because they were giving witness. What is giving witness of the resurrection? Did I mean they mean they were just talking about, well, Jesus was raised from the dead? No, they were giving witness to it. They were, what was happening? They did something. People were healed. Miracles happened. Things happened. Everything that Jesus did was happening still as a witness that he is still alive. How many believe Jesus is still alive? And so if these are the last days, the Bible said about the outpouring of the rain, about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, it was the beginning. And it talks about a pouring out of his Spirit. Everything wasn't all poured out. It's still being poured out. There's still an outpouring going on. He's still pouring out of his Spirit. And so we have to get in on what God is doing in this season. We have to believe, mix our faith with what God is doing. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, and he'll make bright clouds. Ask ye of the Lord in the time of a new and a fresh anointing. Lord, what does that mean? What does that look like? What are we expecting? Well, I'm expecting the same thing that Jesus did when he was on planet Earth, he's doing again. I believe that if the early church had signs, wonders, and miracles, then we in the last days church ought to have it as well. I believe if people were being added daily to the church that should be saved, and the disciples were multiplying, and religious people were getting born again, I believe that ought to be happening right now. I believe everything that happened in the book of Acts ought to be happening right now, because it all happened because of the Holy Ghost. It was, you know, they call it the Acts of the Apostles, but it really is more correct to say it was the Acts of the Holy Ghost. He's still using people, not just apostles today, because that wasn't just about apostles. It was about what the Holy Ghost was doing. Amen. Ananias, who went and laid hands on Saul, was not an apostle, not a prophet, not an evangelist, not a pastor, and not a teacher. Yet God sent a disciple named Ananias with no title to someone who is about to write what we say 2/3 of the New Testament. I don't know. I think Ananias has got some cred up in heaven. I do. Maybe God appeared to 3 or 4 apostles or prophets, and they all like, because even Ananias said, Lord, I've heard about him. He kills people. He puts people in prison. And Ananias, and then how cool. He told him what street that he was on. Told him when he got there, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared to you, he told him everything. God told him everything that had happened. And then he laid hands on him, and you know, the temporary blindness that was on him, it wasn't a sickness or a disease, that temporary blindness came off. And I know that that's also the time that Saul got filled with the Holy Ghost. Ananias had the privilege of leading that mean old religious man who was killing people and putting people in prison. God used him, not an apostle, not a prophet, not an evangelist, not a pastor. The Holy Ghost used a disciple. He used a disciple. I want God to use some disciples today who aren't on TV, who don't have business cards and books and ministries. I want it to be the Bible where nobody gets credit. You may not believe this about me and Pastor Rhonda, but we really wish nobody, these days really, we really wish that nobody knew our names. Because when people start getting credit, God starts being able to move. I wish some disciples at Cornerstone Word of Life Church would grab a hold of the word and start doing it like never before. I'm so grateful that you've received it for yourself and you're walking in the truth, but I am so excited about the day and the hour that we've come into, because I just believe God's looking for a few men and women who will turn into more men and women and boys and girls of all ages that'll just take God at his word, and who realize they're anointed and there's something new and there's something fresh, and they're all stirred up and they're just stepping out and just going out with boldness and doing it. And because there's a demonstration. When I speak God's word, I expect a demonstration. The other one, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. This is another one that Dr. Varallo uses a lot. 1 Thessalonians, it says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. How many know the word's the most important thing? Isn't it? They went forth and preached everywhere. What were they preaching? The word. And the Lord worked with them. He has nothing to work with if we don't preach the word. In other words, my opinions won't get you anything. If I have a doctrine that's not from the word of God, God has nothing to confirm. He can only confirm his word. So when you speak his word, he can confirm it. The gospel came not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as we know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 says that when the power of God comes, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We're in a day and age. Are y'all with me on this? We're in a day and age when the power of God needs to show up again so people can put their faith back in a living God. We as the church are responsible for this age and this time, and the people need to see the power of God. Well, I know at Cornerstone, we've seen the power of God. We've seen miracles. We've seen people healed. But to me, it's only got to be the beginning, and we shouldn't just see it within the walls. We need to be seeing it outside. And I just believe that God is going to use you. So, Dr. Vrallo, so when she comes, we want the best, and we want to see what God has for us. And so she's anointed to be a prophet. I'm anointed to be a pastor when I minister here. So my job is multifold. I'm a general practitioner preaching the word. But when she comes, she's coming with a word from heaven for us as a body of believers and for the body of Christ. One of the things we're not going to do, and I wish there were more people here, but you can help me. There's enough people here to do this. We're not pulling on her for personal words. As someone who ministers like that, especially when I go overseas, is I can walk into a room, especially if people know that God uses me that way, and you can even sense people pulling on you. Well, if she's like me, and I know she is, you almost stay away from that, but it also can mess you up a little bit. So we just want her to make full proof of the ministry that God has. So if there's a demonstration, if there's something that God wants, we've been praying on Wednesdays at noon. Today at noon, we prayed for the word of wisdom to be in great demonstration, that the revelation gifts would be in demonstration. And yet, so she comes with the word from the word, and as she preaches, we're believing for a demonstration of God's power. And when God's power shows up in the room, and when God's anointing shows up in the room, anything can happen. Amen? Amen. And so that's what we need to be pulling on. We need to be pulling on what God has, that she'll make full proof of the ministry, that she'll stand full and complete in the prophet's office that God has called her to, and believing God, just everybody ready to flow. So I'll probably get up and say this, but if the Spirit of God is saying something, then we want to write it down. If the Spirit of God, if there's reverence in the room, then we want a reverence. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like. And so everything is important. When you come in and you're worshiping God, one of the things that motivates her gift is music. No pressure on the worship team because she loves our worship team, but she's very motivated by music. And so when we all together, not just the worship team, but we all together just forget about anything except for Jesus, and then we're honoring the Father, that takes her to a place where she can minister from. It's real important. And so just doing those things. So I want to get to this and then we're going to go. Psalms 23, 5. 23, 5, not 24, 5. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my name. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I believe in this new, fresh anointing. I'm ready for some running over. Are you ready for some running over? I'm ready for some running over. And then Psalms 92:10. This is the main scripture I had for tonight, so we'll have it the last one. My horn shall be exalted like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Everybody say fresh oil. So what does that mean? That means it's not new. It's just fresh. When I think of something fresh, I think of something exciting. When I think of something fresh, I think of being energized. The Bible says this in Hebrews 1:9, interesting translation, but I'll just read it to you. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. I'm anointed with joy. My cup runs over. Amen. I'm anointed with joy. My cup runs over. I'm anointed. There's fresh oil. Fresh oil.